Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Alfred Almanza, Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Lisa Yarbrough. You know, you mentioned earlier the application of science to meeting your mission around food safety. Would you tell us more about your efforts to modernize scientific approach to food safety? Specifically, how does the whole genome sequencing and expanded lab analysis factor into your efforts?
Yeah, so this modernization includes, obviously, ongoing collaboration and communication with the public, including our partners in foreign governments, industry, stakeholder groups, state and local governments, and academia. But we're committed to modernization because we believe that that's what's necessary to achieve our primary objective, which is to prevent foodborne illness, right? By using this whole genome sequencing technology, it'll provide us with a much better understanding of what it means when we find pathogens in products that that we test. It'll also greatly improve the accuracy of the conclusions we reached based on our foodborne illness investigations, which is really quite significant if you start thinking about genome sequencing or basically DNA footprinting of specific pathogens. And, you know, one of the things that physicians typically do is if somebody comes in sick, they take samples from these individuals. So when you start thinking about how we look at product to patient, it'll get us to a conclusion much quicker and being able to draw a straighter line between the two.
Are you folks using advanced analytics in any of the efforts that you're pursuing?
I would love to say yes, but we're getting there. But it's one of those things where as we get more data and through our public health information system, I believe that that's where we're going. And I do believe that that's on the horizon, sure. But I think we're getting there quicker rather than later through the development of our public health information and whole genome sequencing.
Would you tell us more about the state meat and poultry inspection programs? What assistance do you offer state departments of agriculture, and how do you work with the states?
So we work with them under an at least equal to cooperative agreement. They operate their own meat and poultry inspection programs if they meet and enforce requirements that are at least equal to that are imposed under the Federal Meat Inspection Act or the Poultry Products Inspection Act. Also, the Humane Methods of Slaughter Act of 1978. So state meat inspection or state inspected meat and poultry products are limited to intrastate commerce only. There are currently only 27 states operating meat and poultry inspection programs, but we conduct annual comprehensive reviews of the state meat and poultry inspection programs and their requirements. So, including enforcement of those requirements with respect to slaughter, preparation, processing, storage, handling, and distribution of livestock carcasses and parts. So, it's through these comprehensive reviews that we determine whether each state meat and poultry inspection program is at least equal to the federal government inspection program.
Al, I'd like to turn your efforts coordinating inspection of foreign-produced products. Would you tell us more about FSIS's efforts to enhance the inspection of exports and imports? Perhaps you could give us an overview of how this system works and the key players. What are you doing to enhance FSIS's efficiencies in this area?
So FSIS regulates all imported meat, poultry, and processed egg products intended for use as human food. Before FSIS-regulated products can enter this country, the agency determines whether the food safety regulatory system of any country that wishes to export to the United States is equivalent to the United States. But once we find a foreign country's food safety system for meat, poultry, or processed eggs equivalent, then we inspect eligible products from that country at our United States points of entry. So with respect to international stakeholders, FSIS, we have an Office of International Coordination, or OIC, within the Office of the Administrator that serves as the agency's point of contact to coordinate and address international issues. So the OIC, or the Office of International Coordination, they represent FSIS in contacts with foreign governments on all our regulatory matters, working in concert with other USDA and federal agencies, and with international responsibilities to ensure a safe import and export of our regulated products.
How has your portfolio been expanded over the last couple of years? Are there any new food products that you are mandated to regulate? What the process you employ to implement new regulatory regime, and what are the challenges you face?
So as mandated by Congress, we're now responsible for the regulation of Siliformes fish and fish products, while the Food and Drug Administration has traditionally had jurisdiction over fish. The two most recent farm bills of 2008 and 2014 handed Siliformes inspection over to us. The final rule was published in December of 2015, with the implementation period beginning this last March. So we've established an 18-month transition period for full compliance with the new regulations. And as I said earlier, it's something that we're new to. We never inspected any type of seafood or any type of fish. But one of the things that we're committed to is to convey enough information so that on the first day of full implementation, it's September the 1st of 2017, that there are no surprising disruptions of inspection, importation, or exportation of these processes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to pick up on that push that you're doing to get people, the information push, and actually take it from the catfish to your whole portfolio. You conduct outreach and educational awareness to keep the public safe. I'd like to have you expand on what exactly are you doing in that area? And more importantly, how are you modernizing the way you communicate with the public about your efforts?
So one of the things that we've done is we conduct outreach and educational awareness efforts to small and very small plants, because that's the largest population out there. People tend to believe that it's all large establishments, but the vast majority are very small and very small plants. And we have a specific outreach program for those small and very small plants. About 90% of the 6,389 regulated establishments are considered to be small or very small operations. And we have a small plant help desk. I think last year we responded to some 2,031 inquiries in person, over the phone, or via email to help with that type of communication process. We're also focusing on modernizing our techniques with, I don't know if you're familiar with the Foodkeeper app. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we worked with Cornell, and I think it's great. I told the secretary about it, and he downloaded it to his phone. The Foodkeeper app, I think, is a great kind of new thing for people, general public, to be able to just have on their phone and be able to look up, how long can I keep meat, poultry, or processed eggs? Not only that, but it expands to other products that we don't regulate, but it's a great tool that I believe is helpful in today's world. But we're always looking for new ways to help the public. We have a hotline that we field calls in English and Spanish, and also have an online chat and virtual Q&A system as well in our hotline.
Food allergens are a public health issue impacting millions of Americans. Would you tell us more about your efforts to ensure that product labels declare all ingredients as required by law and that products do not contain undeclared allergens?
So allergen recalls have been on the rise, and this can be due to an increased sampling plan that we have, because that's one of the things that we tend to pay attention to. If things start looking like they're out of whack, then we start regulating in a little bit different format. So what we did was we issued a notice, typical of federal government. We issue a notice when we see something going a little bit astray. And so this was control of agency-tested products for adulterants. So the analysis of previous issuances and recalls connected to undeclared allergens and ingredients of public health concern revealed that many occurred because of changes in ingredient suppliers, products in the wrong package, or misprinted labels, and even changes to product or ingredient formulation. So further analysis also pointed to instances where meat and poultry products were coming into contact with allergenic ingredients that were not directly added to the product, which is something that basically folks should be paying attention to, especially with the number of folks that have allergies to certain types of food products. So we chose to take action to further protect public health by recalling products as well. When, regardless of the level of these allergens that were present, we do recalls, and so that's why you've seen a significant uptick in these recalls.
So you've mentioned a couple of times, just given your travel log, the growing complexity of the global food chain has increased not only the potential incidence of contamination events, but ultimately the cost of, say, one. And I want to underscore this. Could you give us a sense of the impact an incident of contamination could incur in terms of cost? And how does this reality underscore the importance of the work that you do?
One of the things that we focus on is maintaining a level of inspection that is consistent. So regardless of where the product comes from, regardless of whether it's imported or domestically manufactured, we encourage establishments to pay real close attention through their annual reassessment of their HACCP plan, which is required. So if you think about you draw up a plan, and if you just you have a plan, you put it in your desk drawer and basically refer to it only when you need to, that plan is really not going to be very effective. So what we do is we have annual reassessments that we require of these HACCP plans. And so when that is done, we believe that it gives the establishment an opportunity to revisit hazards that may have occurred, or just for example, as we were talking about allergens, this tends to be something that the rest of the industry is experiencing. So should we look at, maybe there's some vulnerabilities within our system that we need to do an assessment of and perhaps include in our HACCP plan this year, or maybe something that is no longer a hazard, remove that from our system, which we don't see very much removing anymore. It's more adding, because as the world gets more complex and, quite frankly, food gets more complex, there tends to be more rather than less that these food producing establishments are focused on.
How does collaboration and partnerships enhance our food security? We will ask Alfred Almanza, Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety at USDA, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.